every time I get up in this chair, I think, boy, don't let this be the day that I try to get up here and I fall over. Everybody hear me okay? Good morning. I'll be teaching this class in the month of August, and I'm really looking forward to that time. I hope that we can learn some things that we didn't know before. This morning, as we begin, I want to read a couple of passages. The first one is John 13. If you want to look there, John 13. Before the Passover celebration, I started it off tongue-tied, didn't I? Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table and took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you don't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash, except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. I'm not saying these things to all of you. I am not saying these things to all of you. I know the ones whom I've chosen, but this fulfills the scripture that says, 'The one who eats my food has turned against me.' I tell you this beforehand, so that when it happens, you will believe that I am the Messiah. I tell you the truth, anyone who welcomes my messenger is welcoming me, and anyone who welcomes me is welcoming the Father who sent me." Now Jesus was deeply troubled, and he exclaimed, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at each other, wondering whom he could mean. The disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Simon Peter motioned to him to ask who's he talking about. So that disciple leaned over to Jesus and asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus responded, "It is the one to whom I give the bread and I dip in the bowl." And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. When Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him, and Jesus told him, Hurry and do what you're going to do. None of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was their treasurer, some thought that Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. Kind of a harrowing passage, isn't it? The reason he said what he did at the end there, and I've said this before, is that they didn't think much of it because Judas was the treasurer, and there was a custom among the Jews when they ate the Passover for them to give a certain amount to the poor so that the poor could also share in the Passover. And so that's what they thought that Judas was doing. Let's look now in Matthew chapter 26. Verse 1 through 14. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. At that time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. "What a waste," they said. "It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of all this, replied, "Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priest and asked, "How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Another quite heavy moment here, isn't it? And we need to notice that the chief priests and elders were at Caiaphas's house trying to figure out when would be a good time to nab Jesus. They were afraid of the Jews, though. They were afraid of the crowds because Jesus, the crowds were loving his teachings and the way he took care of them and all the miracles that he had done among them, all the healings and all that. They loved him. But the chief priests and elders felt threatened by him. And so they were plotting along with Caiaphas how to get rid of him. And then, as we learned in John, Satan entered Judas, and Judas went to them and said, "How much will you give me to betray Jesus to you?" And that is the name of our lesson for the next few weeks, 30 pieces of silver. I want you, I'm doing this, I don't know if you've ever gotten to see this exactly. I did a lot of research and a lot of weighing. And I want you to visually see and hear the amount of silver that it took to betray our Lord and Savior. Thank you. That's it. That's all it took. That really gets to me. When I counted these out and weighed them, I thought, you got to be kidding me. You guys ever seen that before? I've never seen it. These are not shekels. These are, I call them Benjis. These are half dollars, American half dollars, with the Benjamin Franklin head on them. Most of you in here, are you, Jared and Ginger, are y'all the youngest in here? You've used these, hadn't you, when you were a kid? I collect, this is 90% silver, and it weighs 0.40 troy ounces each. And so 30 of them, they're 90%, and so 30 of them is about $625. Let that sink in. Now, what Judas, we'll see another place, what Judas received to betray Jesus was, almost all scholars agree that it was a Tyrian shekel. It was called the temple shekel. And it wasn't a Roman coin. They didn't want to use Roman coins. In fact, the money changers that Jesus drove out of the temple were changing Roman shekels into Tyrian shekels. And a Tyrian shekel was a shekel minted between 126 BC and 66 AD. It was minted in the city of Tyre on the Mediterranean Sea in Phoenicia, not too awful far north of Jerusalem. The Tyrian shekel, now remember these are 0.40 troy ounces. The Tyrian shekel was 0.45 troy ounces. And this is an interesting thing to me. These are 90%. The troy, or the Tyrian shekel, was between 92 and 94% pure silver. And I know a little about silver. I don't know how much you know, but I'm telling you what. In 33 AD, to achieve 94% purity is unbelievable. I mean, that's really, really good. And the Jews, the chief priest and them, they accept, this is the only shekel they would accept in the sanctuary treasury, because it was that good. And so when you read of people making offerings, or people buying their Passover lambs there, or their, not Passover lambs, but their sacrifice there, this is the money that they used, was the Tyrian shekel. The Tyrian shekel was 30 pieces of them was about $696. So there's not a tremendous amount of difference between this and the Tyrian shekel. And I'm basing that on today's price of silver is roughly $58 a troy ounce. $696 to betray the Son of God. I just can't hardly get over that. So, have you ever read anything in the Bible and just it made you pause for a moment and say, "Wow, why did it say that? Or why did it include that?" I've done that a ton. And sometimes I actually find out why. And this is going to be one of those times for you, I hope. I don't know. You guys may have known this your whole life. and I'm the slow guy in the room. But we're going to discover some things about 30 pieces of silver that you may not have ever seen before. 30 pieces of silver tells us who Jesus is and why he did what he did. It is undeniable proof that he was the Messiah. So as we move through Scripture over the next few weeks, I think you're going to see some pretty astounding things. At least it was to me. Maybe it's not to you. Maybe you already knew him, but to me, it really opened my eyes. Turn with me over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Here there are some laws that Moses wrote for the children of Israel. And beginning in verse 31, it says, the same regulation applies if this, talking about an ox goring a man or a woman and, you know, what had to be done. They killed the ox. And if it had a bad reputation, they killed the owner also, unless he redeemed himself with a price. The same regulation applies if the ox gores a boy or girl. But if the ox gores a slave, either male or female, the animal's owner must pay the slave's owner 30 silver coins, and the ox must be stoned. So if an ox gored a slave, then the owner of the ox had to pay the slave's owner 30 pieces of silver. Down in my, let's see, where is that? I saw that somewhere. Around 12 ounces in weight, 342 grams. So what does this tell us? Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, was bought with the price of a slave. Let that sink in. Look in Luke chapter 22 with me. Now, usually, I don't know, maybe, if you like me, usually when I got to that point in Scripture, like in Matthew 26, I had a tendency just to read across 30 pieces of silver and move toward the arrest, the betrayal and arrest. But that's why we're pausing a little bit to find out a little more. Luke chapter 22, in verse 24, it says, then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. Jesus was trying to make a point to them that the way things used to be don't apply to them, because Jesus said, what did he say? He who is first will be last, and last will be first. Jesus kind of was stirring the pot here, wasn't he? He was changing the norms. And he was teaching through example now. Remember, we read about him washing their feet? He was teaching by example that they needed to serve each other. And so he did that by serving. Let's see here. I looked at the wrong one here. Look in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Well, we'll start in verse 6. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. I'm reading the New Living Translation this morning. It's a more of a conceptual version. I don't know what yours says, but this says that he took the humble position of a slave. And then at the end of his life, he was bought with the price of a slave. A couple more things before we end this morning. I want you to notice back, where was it? In Matthew 26, Judas is not the one who set the price. The chief priests and elders are the ones that set the price. And this is going to be really important in next week's lesson. So remember that. Jesus left heaven and lived as a man on earth. He became a servant or slave. He was betrayed for a slave's price. And then he gave himself at an exorbitant price to save sinners. He was bought with the price of a slave and then gave the ultimate price to fulfill God's will and to buy us back. The last passage we're going to look at this morning is in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long ago, or long before the world began. But he has now revealed him to you in these last days. Okay, we got a few minutes. And I could move on, but I don't want to. I want to save and put everything together for next week. How did this strike you at all today? I mean, anybody got any comment, Billy? We're gonna look into that a little later on, it's either lesson 3 or 4. But that, yes, good. That's a good point.
And that the 600 and something is really close to the devil's number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It goes to that 666, and it's like, it's never.
Yeah. What's that?
Judas is always greedy and stealing money from the treasury. But why? What's the purpose of the important part that Satan entered
in? We can go into that a little more. I think that's the way it's worded. I think that Satan didn't say, "I'm coming into you." I think that that was the point at which he caved to temptation, where he gave in and allowed Satan in, okay? Judas was, and this is getting into Billy's comment a little bit, Judas was just as much a person of free will, just like we are. But I think because he was pilfering from the treasury, or from the money bag, and that's just kind of who he was. Yeah, and I think that he simply at that point in the whole thing, he allowed Satan in. That's I may be wrong, but that's what I think.
Well, Harlan, we know that money was Judas' weakness.
Yes.
And that's exactly where Satan is going. That was our weakness. So money.
Yep. And although, oh man, look at that! Would you betray any of your friends for that much? Judas had just traveled and lived with Christ, slept in the same dirt, ate out of the same campfire for 3.5 years. He had seen all of the miracles that Jesus had done. He had listened to all of his lessons. And he betrayed him for that. Yes. What's that? Okay. God knew how all this was going to work out, okay? God knew. As a man, I don't know that Jesus did, but he may have. And I think Jesus may have chosen him for this specific purpose. I mean, Judas had the opportunity to turn away, but Judas, greed was his big problem. Well, yeah. Well, we don't know, you know, all we have is what is written for us. When Jesus handed him that bread, Jesus may have looked right into his eyes and says, didn't say it, but Judas goes, he knows it's me. You know what I mean? All right, we'll get into that some more in a couple of weeks. Ginger?
We know
Betray confidence, betray, yeah. Even a smaller prize, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's easy looking from the outside when we have the Bible to say that we would never do that, but yet on a small scale,
mm-hmm.
we all do.
Yeah, maybe not betray to death, but betray, yeah.
That's what I was asking, sister. Do we know biblically if Jesus knew he was betraying him for death? Because then he's possessed, or whatever we want to call it, and then later on he commits suicide.
Well, that's a good lesson. We're going to have a good lesson about that, I think. I think the third one is going to be exactly about that. That's very good. Stay tuned, yeah.
And what confuses me, son, is that he had a choice, but he had no choice.
Yeah.
He was destined to do something like that because that's the way it was laid out.
we'll have time to discuss those things. Yeah. 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 Well, it's because we need to be careful what our, if we can understand what our weaknesses are, that's where we need to be careful. Judas had a weakness, and he succumbed to it completely. Right. Yeah.
But it also convicts me because I think he can say that about me.
Yeah.
And I think in that scripture that David wrote, creating me a clean heart.
Well,
that needs to be prayer.
Thankful to this, we are clean. It bought his blood. Okay. You're dismissed. Thank you. Thanks for your attention. I never even thought, but when I saw this, I thought, I got to do that. You know? It made it, it impressed me when I laid it there on my table, my desk, and I go, you got to be kidding me.
It's such a little amount.
Yeah. I just.
I mean, it's not a big pile.
Right. All right. It fits in a little bitty bag.
It really fits in a bag. I mean, it fits in a bag with room to spare.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't have to do it. God would have found a way to have it done, but Judas made it easy.